Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. Let's have some fun. Ben, at what point in time does the offensive line, even with a step forward yesterday, we don't know exactly how big of a step forward, but that has been the consistent, I guess, pain point when people talk about this offense having trouble. And at what point in time is that a concern? Like, when do we get to the point where, okay, something, this is a conversation to be had. Like, you can't add anybody else, so what you got is what you got. At what point in time is it a concern?
For me, it's the second week of practice in the fall. It's not right now. And the reason being is because, and I'll tell this story because there was a texter that hit me up and was telling me that talked to some high school coaches that stayed. He would not reveal the names of coaches because I was like, who was it? And I was like, tell me who it was. And he wouldn't tell me. But they're allowed to stay at practice past media and be there throughout. And they weren't talking really necessarily bad about it. But the thing that they said is they said, people talk about it being an offensive issue right now or offense being behind. It's not the offense. It's the offensive line.
Yeah.
And, you know, now with them being high school coaches at apparently fairly decent, large high schools, so I've been told, I don't know why they don't understand that you clearly see the shuffling going on right now and seeing who fits in what place, what spot's going to be taken. I really think right now, you even mentioned it, Kyle, right now the only standard right now is the center, right? I mean, everything else could possibly move before it's all said and done with.
Yeah, there may be a couple guys that are, along with Cole Best, that are going to play, but they may play at different spots. So, like, it is in flux, I guess.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, keep going.
But to answer your question, that's why I'm not concerned right now, because that's what spring is for, is to find out who works well where. Let's see if we can get this figured out. Let's see what clicks. You know, it's almost like pitching rotations or rotations in basketball, Kyle. You got to find out kind of what, you know, where you look good when guys start working together. Because offensive line, I think it's not talked about enough how those guys have to be on the same page more than just about anybody and kind of know where each other are and sit in the room with one another and know what each other's doing. And so, and that's why you don't like to move them around. And so if we're still shuffling 2 weeks into fall, yeah, I got a bit of a concern. And when I say shuffle, I mean like a total rotating door outside of Cole Best. Like, if we got a tackle that we're not sure if we're playing one person there, another person there, and that's the only one we're moving around, I'm not concerned at all because I think that they're just trying to get the right, the right, I guess, cohesiveness to make sure that the offense runs effectively.
Sure. And to take up for the high school coaches that are there, like, they're not probably locked into who's all on the depth chart, who's injured. Right. They're just seeing, I'm here at practice, I'm watching, and offensive line is struggling. Like, that's where they're coming from when they say things like that. So I may be a little bit even further. Like, it may take me till after the first game to really see if we have a problem or not. Because, like you said, even in the scrimmage on Tuesday, so Wilson Zaire, he was out with an ankle injury that he got, I think, on Thursday of last week. Okay, so he had worked himself into the first team, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, first team offensive tackle before Stanton Rammel comes back. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of worked himself into that position, and then I think Ty Buster was running some tackle in the particular scrimmage. There's a lot going on, and I think too, again, that they're going to get the ball out quickly. And I know what people are going to say when I say this. Well, we all said this last year. And the difference in saying this year and the difference in saying it last year when you talk about a quarterback's ability to run is that Jackson Arnold didn't run for 1,000 yards essentially twice. Jackson Arnold was not 6'3". 235. Jackson Arnold, it was not anywhere in the vicinity of the run threat that Byron Brown is.
No.
Period. On third and short, on third and long, doesn't matter. That's not even a – they're not even close. Like, you can't even remotely have that same comparison. And Golish said yesterday that his comfortableness as a quarterback really ramps up when he can run, when that's on the table. That's when he feels like he's more in his element. So these type deals just aren't good for him. Like, it's good for him in one sense that it forces him to be able to – it forces him to stand in the pocket and throw the ball and make decisions. Yeah. But it's not good in the sense that, you know, this off – him as a runner is just such a big weapon.
Yeah, so, he's not in a rhythm right now.
Yeah, because It takes away a big element. It takes away a huge element of the offense. So,
well, look, I go back to you and I've had this discussion. I go back to the spring that Cam was working out with the team. Same deal. They didn't let him run. They didn't let him.
He was three. I remember. I'll never forget it. He's 3 of 8 in the spring game. He threw 8 passes. He completed 3, and I remember that they ran this play twice. It was like a goal line play. They ran it like back to back. It was open both times, and he overthrew it both times. And everybody's like, "Oh God, was it Neil Caudle? Was that the guy that was there?" Yes. Like Neil may be the starting quarterback.
Maybe our guy.
Yeah, and then obviously we saw what Cam could do as soon as.
But I mean, that's that same thing though. That kept Cam out of rhythm. Now,
yeah.
It helped him later down the road because when he got in the pros, he had to be a pocket quarterback. And he didn't get to run as much. He still ran, but
yeah, I think he's the all-time. Is he the all-time leading rusher or rushing touchdowns or something for a quarterback?
And so, but they still wanted him. In the NFL, they pay their receivers a lot of money, so they needed him to get the ball to him. And
yeah,
and so it probably helped him having to do all that during the spring, where he couldn't run, he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and maybe down the road that's going to help Brown too whenever he gets into the league. So, I say that to say that, but it's funny that you also mentioned that you hear people say, "Oh, y'all said this last year." Okay, keep in mind what we said last year is Jackson Arnold has the ability to run when forced to. Okay,
yeah, and
between that and Brown is they literally have stuff called that Brown is going to run the ball, and
yeah,
and he's going to be part of the offensive plan. He has the ability if we need him. We need him. Like, he's going to do it. Like,
it's a feature.
Yeah, it is a feature. So that's the difference in the argument when they say, "Well, you guys have said this the last couple of years."
And also the difference, Ben, is proven production.
Yeah.
We have not had that. Auburn has not had a quarterback with, like, elite production that is inarguable yet in this transfer portal era. I know some could argue Peyton Thorne, but you got to go back 2 seasons before he got here, like not the season before he came in. And like, you got a guy coming in and y'all all know the stats. I don't have to repeat them, you know, 3,000, 1,000. Like that's the thing. Like, we're not necessarily having to go and sell ourselves because he had a bad season last year. And he's coming in. So that to me is where it lands a little bit. It lands a little bit more when you're talking about his ability to run. It really does. It changes everything. And it changes the offensive line too. I think it takes pressure off those guys as well. So here's another thing. There's another thing I want to talk about offensive line that you learn in spring that I think they're dealing with. There's a difference between what you want to do and what you can do. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But before we do that, buy Auburn, dadgummit. Go to buyauburn.com if you're an
daggone
Auburn.
It. Huh? Dadgone it.
Dadgone it. If you're an Auburn-owned business, alumni, or just a fan, doesn't matter. If you're an Auburn-owned business, we want to tell people about you. We want Auburn fans to do business with you. So go to Auburn, buyauburn.com today. If you're a business, you can sign up for less than $1 a day. You could be a part of our hopefully nationwide business network. And then if you're a, hey, if you're a consumer, start with Auburn people.
Yes.
We got a guy applying today. He has a supplement company. So like there's millions of those out there. If you do, you're into that, why not do it with an Auburn person? So check it out today. It's buyauburn.com. And let's jump in back into it, Ben. So there's a difference between
You know, push the bug hat.
Oh yeah, my bad. AUShirts.com. Get a bug hat right here. Wait, it's not popping up.
Yeah, it's right there. I got it.
It's not showing on my end. That's wild. Is it gone?
Yeah, it's gone now.
Okay. AUShirts.com. Get you a bug hat and it's some shirts and all that.
This is such a professional podcast.
We're so pros, bro. We're pros. All right, offensive line. The difference between what you want to do and what you can do.
Okay. Now, I'm interested in what you say here.
Okay. All right. So, as a offense, okay, as an offensive coach, you have an idea of what your ideal offense is, okay? Okay. And what I'm talking about is different types of, you know, run schemes, run blocking, things like that. Like, in other words, hey, I know I want to be able to set the edge and get outside, and we're gonna do it by, you know, zone blocking. Or hey, I may have to be a more man block where I'm hat on a hat type thing. You got to figure out what you want to do versus what you can do. And sometimes what you do is you put your offensive line in the situations to figure out what's the, like, what are their abilities? Like, as a group, what can they do well? Okay. And it may be that, hey, we're going to be more of an in between the tackles team. We may not be able to, we may not be as athletic enough to get to the edge. I'm giving you examples. I don't know if these are actually the things that are going on.
No, but it makes sense, because since his retirement, Jason Kelsey talked about that, because he said his specialty was, even as a center, his speed. People forget Jason Kelsey played quarterback in high school, and he was a center later on. And, you know, when you see the Jalen Hurts, Jason Kelsey, he would block release, and they wanted him going downfield, not the tackle downfield. But that's because that's what he was good at. And so, you know, on run plays, they wanted him releasing. So I see what you're saying, that you got to see the good, bad, and ugly of your offensive lineman. And I say the ugly part because you also got to find out their bad habits. If I get a guy on the outside, does he have a tendency to reach? Does he have a tendency to reach out and grab? Does he have a tendency to not move his feet? Is he getting his feet tangled while he's out there? Or is he staying in control and using good fundamentals? So I totally get what you're saying, that you got to put him in these situations, because you got to go back on film throughout the summer and go, this is what you can't do. You can't cross your legs, because you're going to get everybody tangled up. You're going to ruin the play, you know, or, you know, when you really keep your hands in, like, quit reaching for people and getting holding calls and backing us up 10 yards on a big play that you didn't need to touch a guy. So, no, I get what you're saying. And I guess that's what I just can't overestimate in spring, Kyle, how much of it is a dress rehearsal of, we got to figure out what we need to work on by the time.
Yes, fall. Yes, yes. So this is the overarching point, okay, that I'm trying to make. You got to figure out what they can't do, so then you know how to build around what they can do, okay? And so if you're just spending the whole spring, which is like 15 free practices, that don't really end in anything like any game payoff other than a day. If you spend doing only the things that they can do well, you don't really figure out what their real strengths are, like their weaknesses. I think you need to know. Would you agree? You might need to know their weaknesses even more so than their strengths. So if you spend this, I'm not saying they're only doing things that are tough on the offensive line, but you try to do as much as you can so that you can kind of narrow down. Hey, first I got to find the group. Then I got to find what that group does well. If this guy goes down as an injury and I throw this guy in, what can that group do well? Yep. Like, there's a lot of mixing and matching. So I don't get too wrapped up in it. And honestly, it all goes back to Byron Brown. I just don't think that guy's going to be bad. Like, I think he's going to be really good. I think Keyshawn Singleton is going to be really good. I think Chaz Nimrod is going to be really good. I think Jeremiah Koger could be elite. He's got to get more consistent. So, like, I feel like the pieces are there. And, you know, if it was been, I bet you would be like this. If we heard nothing but roses about the offense, it would sound fun. But in the back of my mind, I'd be like, this something doesn't seem.
Let me tell you how mad I would be if we heard nothing but that.
Yeah.
And in game one against Baylor, we put up less than 100 yards total offense.
Yeah.
And the defense stays on the field the entire time. I would be back to what you and I discussed on yesterday's pod of, all right, what the hell's going on here? Like,
yeah.
So I'd much rather, I'm with you here right now, what our weakness is. And look, it's not just Auburn's weakness. That same texter that texted into us on that show that I was on was talking about Alabama's got the same problems over there. And I was like, Alabama's going to be fine when the fall rolls around. And I'm not saying Auburn's going to be fine, because it's not like I plan on rolling off 11 wins next year. But I will say this. That's what spring is for.
Yes.
Is to learn what, especially when you got transfer kids coming in. You definitely got to learn what they do and what, you know, what they're good at and what they're bad at. Because, you know, it's not like you've had them for the last 3 years. He's had you go back to what you said at the first of the pod. He's had Brown for his 3 years. He knows what he can do. So when he says it in passing, I'm not concerned with him right now. He knows the playbook. And people are like, he's just giving him all the credit in the world. It's not credit. He's literally, the guy's been in his back pocket for the last 3 years, and he's coached him. Brown's played for his coach. They know each other. So, yes, it's great to keep that relationship strong, but right now there's some other pressing issues that Golish needs to be a part of and fix. So he's going to work on those issues. So And I'm with you back to what you said at the beginning. To defend those coaches a little bit, I understand that's what they said. They probably didn't have a depth chart sheet in their hand.
Yeah.
Like you said, they probably have no idea who's sitting on the sideline or who's riding a stationary bike.
Who's injured, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're they don't know the names of the players if they're not affiliated with them at all. So they're just out there and they're like, man, they can't get it together. And then when they get done with practice and the first person they talk to, they're like, you know, everything looked great, but offensive line's got some issues. It's like, yeah, they got issues. Not everybody's out there, for one. Number two, they're still putting chess pieces in place to decide what's going to rotate around Best and Brown, in my opinion.
Exactly. So they still have time to figure some things out. And again, this is the time you experiment. This is the time you find out what your guys can't do so that you can figure out how to scheme around it with what they can do. One thing I will say, and this is based off of, I don't necessarily have like a historical reference for this. Like, I can't really point and say with confidence other than just what Golish has said, but it seems like, at least he feels like, his offense is malleable. And what I mean is, you always hear about the great coaches that are able to take the personnel that they have and build something around them. I think that's what I expect. Like, I expect him to take the offensive line group, push them to their limit in spring, figure out what they can't do, and then build around that going into the fall, knowing that, you know, my quarterback's going to be, you know, have the leash fully off.
Yeah.
And that'll be a part of it. It felt like, you know, staffs before, you know, or it was more of a system and you had to recruit guys to the system because the system only ran one way kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe I'm taking Golish for his word there. So we'll see if that's actually the case.
Oh, Golish comes across as a coach that's, he's just going to play the hand of what he's been dealt.
Sure.
You know, he's not a, I mean, I'm sure they have some sort of a system, but he's not. I'm with you. And in years past, even dating back to Gus, because Gus had a system. I mean, we've talked about that, with the way he ran things and what he needed as far as his offense was concerned. He always needed a running quarterback at all times. He needed
no doubt.
And so, you know, I think Golish is a little different in that. And again, yes, I understand that's the one bullet that's coming out of spring that people don't like to hear is offensive line woe-ish. And I say that because, like I saw on Twitter the other day, it's like, have we had a decent offensive line since the Tommy Tuberville years, like all together? And I get it. Tough. I get it. But, you know, and I'm not saying that that's going to be fixed this year, but I think you've got position coaches and a head coach that's going to do what they can with what they have to put Brown, Singleton, like you said on the outside, Nimrod, all the running back. That's a great running back room. Try to put them all in a position to succeed with what's in front of them.
For sure. For sure. We got a tailgate for A-Day. If you're going to A-Day, I've already talked about it once. Definitely stop by. I'll be there a little bit before 11. If you're watching this, if you're members only, it's got a map. It's going to be just – it's on the – they call it the campus green, closest to the student center. It's be a big tent. You'll see it. We'll be there on the east side of the stadium. So make sure you stop by 11 o'clock or a little bit before, whatever. We'll be there, and then probably some after the game too. So make sure you stop by and say hello. Do you do A-Day?
Not usually. And the reason being
you got the itch. You got the itch this year?
I do kind of have a little bit of an itch, but I also have a daughter that just moved to Birmingham, and I got to wonder if I'm going to be on the road again.
Yeah.
During A-Day, because that's what Lori and I, we're trying to decide how many weekends we got to go up there in a row for. She finally says, all right, I've seen enough of y'all. Y'all need to stay home. But that's more on, you and I have talked about it. That's more on mama than that is dad. So,
oh, sure.
Whatever mama says, guess what dad's going to be doing this year or this weekend. So, yeah.
Well, good deal. We'll hope to see everybody there. We're going to talk a few more times before then. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.